to BLQ. They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
This is WBLQ 103.1, 1230 on your AM dial, WBLQ.net, streaming live, Westerly's only radio station. People treasure it. And now you are tuned into a very special episode of the Resiliency Radio Hour, brought to you by the Southern Rhode Island Conservation District. My brain, Gina Fuller, sadly is unable to be with us today, but we're going to be talking today with folks from the Westerly Land Trust, Erica Liebling and Mark Doherty. I'm saying that right, right? That's how I feel about that. I'm blowing a tune on my love tuner, people.
My heart is beating.
Right. Did you not just get a rush of endorphins, Mark?
Certainly did.
Yes, you did. Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to start by you talking to us a little bit about the Westerly Land Trust and what role do you play within the organization? Because the staff is all of about five people, right?
Right, that's right, yeah.
So, Erica, why don't you start?
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having us, first of all. We're always looking for fun ways to get the word out about the work that we're doing at the Land Trust,
right,
at the Westerly Land Trust, so thank you. As you said, my name is Erica Liebling, and I'm the donor relations. Well, that's okay. Liebling, Liebling.
Yeah,
I'm married into it, so I don't even really know.
I gotcha.
I'm the donor relations manager at the Westerly Land Trust, and I've been with the organization since 2019.
Oh,
and I've been there through the transition from the Industrial Trust Building to our new offices at the Barlow Nature Preserve. Through some staff transition as well, and we're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like it. Your website, as I said, is absolutely spectacular.
Well, thank you.
I mean, like, all, first of all, great visuals, but a lot of properties to manage. And Mark, your role is actually kind of in that property management field, right? Tell us what you do.
Yeah, so I'm the land stewardship manager for the Land Trust. And I've inherited an amazing legacy of stewards over the years, over the past 20 plus years, of folks that have been taking care of the properties. And basically my job is to set kind of land conservation priorities. How do we want to manage these conserved spaces, whether it's for agriculture, healthy forests, healthy wetlands and waterways. I sort of set those priorities and mobilize our amazing group of volunteers as well, the CCC, which is a little play
on the FDRs. Civilian.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right,
so this is our very own CCC. They work just as hard, but drink a little bit more coffee. So,
yeah, what does it stand for?
This is the
CCC.
Coffee and Clearing Club. Coffee comes first always. I think one of, you know, the pillars of my position is making sure that I brew a fresh cup every Tuesday morning after Labor Day all the way through June.
Right.
And that's something that anybody can come and join us too. 8:30 on Tuesday mornings, we gather at Barlow Nature Preserve, and we go out and we get our marching orders, and we take care of these beautiful spaces.
So you clean up the trails, you make sure that whatever structures
historic preservation,
need to be,
rebuild stone walls, clean stone walls.
Really?
Invasive plant management is something that we're looking to expand a little bit more into.
Sure.
Something that we do, but I think, you know, there's always refinement. And I think, like Erica kind of talked about, the growth that the Land Trust has gone through, and we're only getting better at what we do and expanding our capacity to take care of Westerly's beautiful open spaces.
Absolutely. Now, you guys have a bunch of farms in your portfolio. There's 14 properties in your portfolio altogether, is that right?
32.
Oh, because I only really counted 14 on the website.
Some are
tiny,
some are big.
I see. I gotcha. Okay, very cool. You have a few farms, as I was about to say, and tell me about the farms, because that's agriculture is kind of my beat.
Nice.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we were just
your
talking
beat.
About. Yeah.
Well, I do
it.
Another show. I do
it.
A podcast,
but, like,
about
beats.
Agriculture. Yeah, right.
Oh, that's what you have to do to get her to blow that whistle. No,
yeah.
Just make
a
bad
Erica,
pun.
This is your time to shine.
Well, Katie, before I'm going to have, I think Mark can really answer that question really well. But first, I want to take a step back, because I don't think we really properly explained what a land trust is.
Well, thank you.
And that's something that, you know, before I started working for the Westerly Land Trust, I even was in the dark about, even though my background is kind of an environmental focused background. So a lot of people hear land trust and they immediately think maybe we're the Washington Trust, you know, the bank or something like
sure.
that. So, but there are tons of land trusts across the country. This is something that dates back generations, and it's just a way to conserve land. And I don't know, Mark, if you have anything else to talk about in terms of the definition of a land trust, but I think it's kind of one of Westerly's best kept secrets, and we don't want it to be that way. We want everybody to know what it is that we're doing and what a land trust is in the first place.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
So when you say it's a land trust, in other words, it's a it's like holding something in trust, right? So owners.
That's
landowners can donate, or they get a conservation easement,
yep.
something like that. Yeah,
or
and
the
that
trust can outright purchase land.
It can purchase it,
yeah.
right. And so then, and that's why you have 32 properties.
Yeah, yeah
right.
exactly.
So,
exactly.
And then you manage that to maintain its sort of pristine, you hope, pristine-ish condition. I was interested to see that there were a couple of urban
yeah.
land trust properties, as it were, including the Industrial Trust building?
Correct, yep. So
what's going to happen to that now that you're not occupying
it? We actually have a tenant in there. So Gnarly
Fantastic.
Bay yep, is in the Industrial Trust building.
What is Gnarly Bay?
They're a really cool business, local guys. They're a business that they do like film production.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And,
who knew, people?
I know.
You should
know.
Go in there and say hi to them. They're cool. They're cool
to.
Dudes.
Yeah,
yeah, and they get an open door, and how they've really, like, that's a historic space. So.
Yes.
You know, we conserve land for natural purposes, but also for, you know, historical preservation. So,
I love that.
So to have that beautiful historic building conserved and still being used in a by like cool long-haired dudes like myself, you know, I think it's like kind of cool. Sorry. Hey, shout out Gnarly Bay.
Yeah. So the urban initiative started in 2004.
Yeah.
And the
oh,
part,
wow. That
the,
goes back away.
It mm-hmm. does. Yep. And the thought behind it was that if you have all these this historic places in downtown that you can actually, like, you know, limit the urban sprawl if you're taking care of the spaces downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Another good example of our urban initiative is the community garden on Main Street.
Oh, sure.
So where it was once, you know, a parking lot with, you know, a lot of concrete or rocks or whatever, that this has now become a green space right in the middle of what a lot of people consider the entry into Westerly. If you're coming from Connecticut, you know, you come down, if you're headed to the beach, you are going right down Main Street, and it's a great way to show off our town and that
right.
we really care about beautifying downtown.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we've got such a great downtown anyway, but mm-hmm. adding
yeah.
a little bit green to it.
It needs really more green, in my opinion. And I know that that's something that the district has been working on
yes.
for years, actually.
You're right. Yep.
There's a big initiative to basically green up the hardscapes here because there's
yep.
so much concrete in downtown Westerly.
You're right. right. And the Southern Rhode Island Conservation District helped us with the community garden as well.
Oh, that's
so that
right.
Was,
yeah,
yep.
yeah.
So that was a fun project to work on together.
Right. So, oh, that's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the farms for a second.
Sure.
There's like three or four farms in this. Are they producing farms? They're working farms? Or?
Yeah, so I think the Keystone is really our new headquarters at Barlow Nature Preserve,
right.
Which we lease land to three different farms.
So you
yeah,
lease
so
the land to different farmers.
At low cost, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So we inherited
Most
this
excellent.
Property, and we thought, you know, we have to... We can,
keep
are we gonna
it
give
in
it to one
agriculture.
Farmer? Exactly. And,
yeah.
we're, you know, like you said, we're a small, relatively small but powerful organization. So we need to leverage other folks. So right now we have Echo Rock Flowers run by Stephanie Bennett. She does beautiful floral arrangements, sells at our farmer's market, which is a part of our urban initiative as well.
Right.
And at our farm stand weekly has a CSA pickup. As well as Frontier Farms, run by Cassidy Whipple. She does no-till, chemical-free, organic. Not certified
not
organic yet, but she's. But you know that this is. She's doing all the practices. She just
right.
One
of my favorite things about Cassidy, I say this to everybody
I
meet and to tell them her story is that one reason that she doesn't want to go organic, certified organic, is because it would increase the price that she would pass on to her customers. So she wants to. She uses all those practices, but that certification would possibly prohibit people from having access to. to fresh food from like an economic standpoint. Mm-hmm. So she's like right there, you know, working cleanly and but she just really wants to maintain a low cost.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair
pretty
enough.
Cool, right.
I mean, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then moving on to our other properties, we do work with we have like historic hay fields, right?
Right.
That's actually a big chunk. Or Avondale Farm Preserve is a historic cattle farm, but now it's in hay production partially, and then part of it is preserved for native grassland.
Right.
And so we work with John Schrafach from Everbreeze Farms, and he helps us to hay these properties, maintain proper nutrient management.
Right.
And then that hay can go to his cows at Everbreeze or to other farms in the area.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can grow all the different kinds of grasses that make up good hay.
Absolutely.
Because hay is not just hay.
Hay right. is not just
it's
hay.
It's actually a very complex selection of grasses and small plants that go into hay. People think it's just like, it's just whatever. It's not. It's a really complicated science. Grass farming is a big deal. It's becoming much more of a big deal, I've noticed in my other work. In the Investment Recovery Act or in that big new program partnering for climate smart commodities. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have read anything about that. I just did a show about it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a $3 billion program in which various sort of organizations, companies, states come together and partner on what they call climate smart commodities. I'm not a huge fan of commodity farming, but that's just what it is. It's corn, it's soy, it's rice,
it's
wheat, it's hay. Right. And there was there's one big push for hay grass farming, essentially, out in the Midwest. I can't remember whether it was Iowa or Minnesota or something like that, but it was like a lot of money, like tens of millions of dollars going into just that one thing of grass farming. I thought that was fascinating.
One fun full circle moment that I've experienced at the Land Trust is that every year we have our farm dinner, which we recently had it. It's our largest fundraiser of the year, and it's a way to celebrate local farmers. You may have seen pictures. There's the longest table in Westerly this past farm dinner that we had at the end of August. We sat 272 guests at this farm dinner. And so what I was saying is one of my favorite full circle moments. A couple of years ago, we actually used beef from John Strafach, who Mark referenced, that was fed from Westerly Land Trust hay. You know, so then we're celebrating this farmer. We're eating the food that was, that
produced.
Had consumed the food that we were taking care of, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it's just a really great way to think about how connected we really are, especially when you live in a small community and you are mindful of what you're putting into your body and consuming local food.
Right, which is what we all want to do. I mean, re-regionalizing our food system. I mean, I talk about this all the time on my other show, but also here, because we saw what happened during the pandemic when the supply chains broke down, and all of a sudden, Tyson is producing a full-page ad saying, "Oh, the sky is falling." Of course, this is only so he could bump up his prices and exploit his workers more. But you can read all about that in the newspaper, people. But that in fact it did happen because we're bringing, especially stuff like meat, in from the Midwest and the South. And we didn't have the truckers to truck the meat, right?
Exactly.
We didn't have the workers to process the product.
Exactly.
So it's really important to make our food be as close to where we are consuming it as we possibly can. So I'll get off my soapbox now, and then we'll talk about some of your other properties. So you said 32 in all. How much acreage does that represent?
It's just over 1,700, and that was with our recent acquisition of the Cottrell Family Preserve. We do have a Crandall Family Preserve as well, but in March of this year, we acquired about 24 and a half acres along the Pawcatuck River in the Potter Hill area. Yep, so we have about 10 miles, of riverfront property.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yep, and you know that the Pawcatuck River is incredibly important for our community, but was also recently nationally designated wild and scenic.
We have done many programs.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So with Cassie Donnelly
from
the Wild and Scenic River Preservation Association.
Right. So we're bringing it all together, and we do work with them as well.
Yeah.
And, it's important. We're not, you know, everything is so interrelated. We're not just saving land. It's, you know, when we save and conserve land on the river or anywhere around this area, we're going to be impacting that river.
Oh, most definitely. Yep. Absolutely. And it's interesting that you guys acquired the Cottrell Preserve, because right on the Potter Hill Mill Dam site, which was the object of so much controversy in the past few months.
Right.
I know listeners here are probably sick of hearing about it.
We
had Chris Fox on here like 50 times to talk about it, because, I mean, pretty much everybody was behind getting rid of the dam.
Right.
But a few...
Right. Complications. It's
complications.
Something that we're excited about with Cottrell, too, that's kind of down the line and touches on, like, multiple community organizations and the town being involved. We hope to kind of connect the Cottrell Preserve to the town forest, you know, which has some access, but it could be better. And also connect Cottrell to one of our existing preserves, the Flora Whiteley Preserve, which is also along the river. So to kind of like create this wildlife corridor, which we have done through securing the conservation of the land, but then to make this recreation corridor kind of expand so that our 24 acres really turns into effectively hundreds that people can enjoy. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
So you guys have educational programs. I'm going to go brain dead here. But you have something called Living Laboratories.
Yep.
Do we have time to talk about that, or do we need to? Yes, we have 3 minutes for that before we have to go to a commercial break.
Perfect.
So tell us about the Living Laboratories, which is a program you administer alongside of the Westerly School District, public school district.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. So our education prioritization goes back about 10 years. You know, we have all this amazing land, and what better way to use it, to put it to use? We have this opportunity to connect young students to our land, to natural environment, in an engaging and hands-on way. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing this for a while. Then when the pandemic happened and schools shut down, you know, we had to kind of reorder how we were doing things. And that's really when Living Laboratories specifically was born. It was a way to get kids and their families at the time, obviously we didn't have school, to come out and connect with the land. And a silver lining of the pandemic was that people were looking for outside places. You know,
it really
put that on outside places on the forefront of people's mind as a safe place. So Living Laboratories is this awesome program that we actually were lucky to have the Southern Rhode Island Conservation Districts help in making a connection with the Westerly Public Schools. And now we have a direct access to the Westerly Public Schools. Basically, it's for K through fourth graders from the three main elementary schools in Westerly.
Uh-huh.
And they can come after school, bus transportation is provided directly after school, and be outside for a good hour and a half or so, connect with nature, connect with each other. Mark has been able to lead some of the sessions, so I'll let him hop in.
I guess I love working with kids. It's so fun. It's like it brings out the little kid in me, and to be able to bring them onto this land. So we have coming up an Arbor Adventure at Mastuxet Brook Greenway, starting at the Rotary Park and going through Town Preserve. A great example of collaboration too along Mastuxet Brook is it's a mosaic of land conserved by both the town and the Westerly Land Trust. So anyways, we're going to start there, and we're going to learn about beech trees and red maples and witch hazel, and we're going to go to a special place at the south end of the preserve called Diamond Falls, where the kids can play and explore and just be curious in nature. So I think keeping the kids curious and outside has been great, not only for me, but I really hope so for them too.
Well, I think, I mean, it makes the point that, you know, getting kids involved and going outside and playing in the forest and, you know, next to the river and stuff like that is, you create a lifelong conservation steward just right there in that little tiny body a growing conservation steward coming forward.
Yes.
And they get more interested in that stuff, hopefully, as they go on. And with all of the emphasis on science, technology, engineering, and math in the school system, like, science, I think, is getting sexier and sexier in terms of curriculum, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, because not everybody is a gearhead, not everybody loves math, but everybody can relate to a caddisfly or, you know, seeing river, you know, fish spawning or, you know, swimming upstream, stuff like that. I mean, that stuff is really exciting and fun for kids. I mean, I certainly grew up in the woods myself. Not that I, you know, not that it's...
Well, that explains a lot.
He made a funny.
We do still have spots available for Arbor Adventures, as Mark was saying. So if you want more information, you can go to our website, westerlylandtrust.org.
When is this taking place?
So it's divided by schools and by grades. So Springbrook Elementary, September 28th through 29th. That one's filling up quickly because it's so close. State Street School, October 5th and 6th. And Dunn's Corner is October 12th and 13th.
Cool.
We got to take. These are totally free of cost to the families, and busing is provided. So that's one of our goals. We want to eliminate any obstacles to getting any of these local kids onto our land.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I think DJ, it's time for our sponsor drop.
I suppose so.
We'll be right back with Erica Lebling and Mark Doherty from the Westerly Land Trust. Stay tuned, folks.
Took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half to see them. Oh, yes, paving paradise and putting up a parking lot. You're listening to Resiliency Radio on WBLQ. Good Thursday morning to you. It's Crazy Chris here at your number one buying destination, Central Auto Group, right here in Plainfields, Connecticut. But when I say number one buying destination, that's number one everywhere, no matter where you go. But they're located in Plainfields, Connecticut. And, of course, Central Auto Group is the home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, pre-owned. I was just talking a little while ago to Jamie, who was cleaning the Ford Lightning that is in the showroom here in the Ford and Mazda side. And, by the way, the Ford Lightning is that's a 100% electric vehicle, Mike. Is that another one? It's 100%. So come over and see it on display. And, of course, you can always reserve your vehicle online at centralautogroupct.com. Just like the Volkswagen ID4, that's another 100% electric vehicle. And Central Auto Group is the exclusive dealership selling it at manufacturer-suggested retail price with no additional markups. Those other dealerships, they charge too much money. Not here at Central Auto Group. That's why we always say if you go anywhere else other than Central Auto Group, you're paying too much. So don't pay too much. Come to Central Auto Group where you save the most money. And of course, we have Fords, Mazdas, Hyundais, and Volkswagens when it comes to brand new vehicles. And I've seen them myself. The 2023s are arriving quickly. The inventory is growing. They need to sell down their existing inventory. That's why we keep saying score a touchdown as we kick off football season, because Central Auto Group has been challenged by the manufacturers Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, and Volkswagen to get these vehicles out of here and do what it takes. So basically what it comes down to, I came up with this a little while ago, the more people who shop, the prices will drop. Now Central Auto Group already has the lowest prices, but if you bring people with you, you tell people, we got to shop at Central between now and September 30th, which is a week from tomorrow. Let's get as many people up here as possible. Let's pack the house because the prices will be even lower. Save hundreds, 500s, even thousands of dollars off the already huge savings at Central Auto Group. That's right. And they've got selection. Fords, Mazdas, Hyundais, Volkswagens, cars, trucks, SUVs, 2022s, and some leftover 2021s that are still brand new and have never been driven. They need to move them out of here. So get over here to Central Auto Group, and let's not forget about the hundreds of pre-owned vehicles, too, whether it's certified pre-owned or pre-owned any make and model you could possibly think of. And don't worry about your credit, because we all know Peter, the credit defeater, and the amazing, unbelievable finance team here at Central Auto Group works harder than anybody else to get you approved with the lowest possible interest rate. And according to Mike Foster, he's even seen instant approval every now and then. Actually, more than you think. So get over here to Central Auto Group right here in Plainfield, Connecticut, just off exit 28 off of I-395. And the website is centralautogroupct.com. The address for your GPS is 98 Lathrop Road in Plainfield, Connecticut, Central Auto Group. You're listening to Stereo 1230 and 103.1 FM WBLQ.
Kick off the football season with a touchdown. Only at Central Auto Group, your number one buying destination. Home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned. The manufacturer say the more Central Auto Group sells, the bigger. anchor the savings. So bring your brothers, sisters, cousins, friends, everyone. The more people who buy at Central this month, the lower the prices. Lease specials are back at Central Auto Group. Test drive the 100% electric Volkswagen ID4 and order yours at MSRP. Only at Central Auto Group with no additional markups. Central has over 100 pre-owned cars and trucks to choose from, too. We always beat the competition prices or we'll give you $2,000 in cash. Why shop anywhere else when you get Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned at one location? Reserve your vehicle online at CentralAutoGroupCT.com or just stop in. Exit 28 I-395. When you purchase your new car, truck, or SUV at Central Auto Group, you always win.
Your number one buying destination.
Central Auto Group. See dealer for details.
When you hear commercials for insurance, you generally hear something like, 10 minutes could save you $100. My name is Dave Woodmansey from Woodmansey Insurance, and I would like you to know that the same $100 you saved in 10 minutes today could cost you thousands of dollars down the road. If your present insurance company did not take the time to properly gather your information and design an insurance package tailored to fit your needs, you may experience severe shortages or gaps in your coverage in the unfortunate event of a loss. And many of you have never had an insurance loss before and don't know what to expect. As a Woodmansey Insurance customer, you can take comfort in the fact that we understand what you are going through and will be there to guide you through the claim process. Our knowledgeable staff will answer your questions, provide advice, and fight for your rights when it comes time for your claim to be settled. For a review of your current coverage needs for your home, auto, business, or life insurance, you can stop in and see us at Woodmansey Insurance. We are located at 1122 Main Street in Wyoming, 539-7000.
D&V Mechanical offers only the best in cooling and heating, like Mitsubishi Electric's cooling and heating systems that provide individual room control and allergen filtration, all with no ductwork. D&V Mechanical.
You can call D&V Mechanical at 401-741-2704.
Harvey Wanda, I'm Mark Rosenthal. Here's your Stereo 1230 WBLQ Southern Rhode Island and Eastern Connecticut weather forecast.
On this Thursday, cloudy and buggy, chance of occasional showers, maybe a thunderstorm. Low and mid-70s, the rain will gradually end during the afternoon. Clearing, windy, cool overnight, lows about 50. Tomorrow, sun clouds, windy, cool, 58 to 63. Saturday, sun clouds, windy, low 60s. Sunday, lots of morning sun, then clouding up. It'll be in the 60s, could be raining Sunday night. From the WBLQ at the Center, I'm Mark Rosenthal.
WBLQ.
Hey, farmer, farmer, put away your DDT. I don't care about spots on my apples. Leave me the birds and the bees, please.
This is the Resiliency Radio Hour. I'm your host, Katie Kiefer. My brain, Gina Fuller, district manager of the Southern Rhode Island Conservation District, has been called away on important district business, people.
Womp, womp.
But fortunately, in the studio today, we have Erica Lebling and Mark Daugherty from the Westerly Land Trust. And we are having so much fun. I love you guys.
Oh,
I hope
good.
You'll come back. This is really great. I like to have guests who have plenty to say.
Oh, plenty.
And I don't actually have to extract the answers, you know, and they're not monosyllabic and, you know, whatever. So we were talking in the break about the TerraCorps, which is where you came from, which is kind of like the AmeriCorps of...
Yeah.
Conservation, essentially,
yeah.
Right?
So basically, TerraCorps.
Yeah. Okay.
TerraCorps is an organization that operates in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and they take AmeriCorps funding and they connect and service members and connect them to local environmentally minded organizations, nonprofits, or governmental as well.
Right.
And so I found the Westerly Land Trust through TerraCorps, which I'm very thankful for. I came in last year as the Land Stewardship Coordinator and also Community Engagement Coordinator. And the
Did
land
you have
trust
background in doing this stuff already before you joined TerraCorps?
I came from another AmeriCorps position with the Bureau of Land Management in Colorado.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
We were doing long-term monitoring of pastoral lands,
sure.
on public lands. So I like grasses a lot. Which was cool. We were talking about haying earlier. But now this year, so I've been lucky enough to come into a full-time role now with the Westerly Land Trust. But we still have a working relationship with TerraCorps. And Emma Stahl is our
She's your new TerraCore person.
Program coordinator.
Education program coordinator this year. Youth education program coordinator. Yeah, right. And so she'll be with us for the year. And that's just, we're really thankful for TerraCore and the AmeriCorps federal program because it really helps us expand our capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you said
fantastic.
You like grasses, and I'm just wondering if you have a sedge fund.
Oh, blow it.
Wait.
You're welcome.
All right, Miss Tussock.
Yeah, right.
All right, I'll leave it be.
All right. So now one of the things when you came in as a full-time employee, you inherited something called the Voices of the Land podcast, which looks like it didn't really do much over the summer. I imagine that's a pretty busy time of the year for you guys, so that makes sense. Are you going to revive that program?
It's in the works, for
it's
sure.
It's in the
for
works.
Sure. There are so many people that we engage with that have interesting things to share, and to be able to provide a platform, you know, in a round table like this and to put that out there is great. And we hope, so we kind of started a lecture series, or part of my position has been to try and connect the folks that are out on our land doing research. There are a lot of people that are out doing really unique research on our conservation properties. Yeah. And I think it's something that, you know, as the land trust has expanded, we realized we can engage with these people more, and we can kind of personally learn about what they're researching, and then we can shout it from the rooftops and talk to the people.
Give me an example of what they're studying.
Yeah, so the last couple of years, Dr. Rachel Benowen from Providence College, she heads the pollinator lab over there.
Oh, yeah.
And she was doing a pollinator biodiversity research on our properties. Uh-huh. And the last year, we were able to do youth education. We did this pollinator safari out at Avondale, where we got kids and adults alike to go out and learn how to identify whatever pollinators we could catch.
Right.
And that helps us, you know, with kind of some baseline data. So what's out on our land? And then we can set our conservation priorities from there.
Right.
So it's great to help fill our desire to educate the public, but also us to become better stewards.
Yeah.
So there's going to be on November 17th, not on our website yet, but keep your eye out, westerlylandtrust.org. We'll be having this science fair kind of happy hour where Dr. Rachel and her students are going to be presenting a lot of their research.
Wicked.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Cool.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to Argentina.
Oh
too bad.
Yeah, that's delightful.
Were you guys
Argentina.
Were you guys any part of the FISCO hunt for the goblet moss and stuff like that?
Oh,
that UConn
no,
did?
No. What was that about?
So I was part of this study. I posted a Facebook. I'm the crazy plant lady on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay.
So I always post like, oh, this is a cool angle. Somebody contacted me from UConn and was like, you need to push stop on the player. You need to contact this doctor at UConn. So I did. I was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, I got moss. I don't know. And it's they are looking for, there's no research done about the goblet moss or the bladder moss or stuff like that. Or any moss, really.
Yeah.
And so they just started it, and I got like a thank you for helping us stuff. It was really exciting. So it is, as boring as some people might find it, like it's super exciting to think that I was part of this research. I sent them samples and everything like that. And I'm not a botanist, but I want to be. But like, I'm just like, oh, that's so cool. So like,
sure.
Everything in your backyard could be part of like a research study, and
every person can be a part of the research
study
too.
That's
with the tools
it's
that we're
called citizen science. We talk
baby.
About that a lot. We love citizen science.
Yeah.
And Mark has hosted at least one BioBlitz.
Yeah,
right?
We did a little mini BioBlitz at Barlow. You know, so a BioBlitz is basically this mad dash over 24 hours. The Rhode Island Natural History Survey puts on the longest. It's the longest running annual BioBlitz in the country.
Wicked.
Yeah, and it's 24 hours, gathering of all amazing scientists and lay folk alike to go out and see how many different life forms they can identify.
Right.
And so we did a little mini version because 24 hours is a long time at Barlow Nature Preserve, and we hope to definitely do more. We really love
like
the people
really
that we
important.
Met.
You know, project to push forward because who doesn't want to be a citizen scientist? I mean, I know I love to do that.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the spotted lantern fly here yet?
We have not. But actually, Dr. Rachel was out at Grills Preserve last week. Mm-hmm. I think she was doing something else. She goes, but I'm also going to go ahead and monitor for Spotted Lantern.
Right, because they found them up in Smithfield, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
I hear they're doing some attempting some eradication.
Yes.
So we'll see the results of that.
Right.
Something I've noticed this year, beech leaf disease has been really spreading as well. I don't know. Ooh, do you know anything about that?
I do not. And I have a lot of beech trees. Tell me.
Yeah. So it's a nematode that eats the leaves, basically.
Nematode.
Yeah, and I don't think we know too much about it, and I don't want to speak out if it's native or if it's invasive, but I noticed just from last year to this year, 80% I would say roughly of the beech trees and large beech stands on our properties have been affected by this.
Oh no!
Yeah, it doesn't fully defoliate. In a drought year like this, I can imagine
it can really stress a tree.
Really stressing a tree, yeah.
Right,
so,
right.
I don't know. That's something that, in my capacity at the organization, and I hopefully finding partners that can help us identify how big this problem is and if there's anything we can do about it. Speaking about partners, South Kingstown Land Trust, their stewardship manager, Sean Grady. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm sorry. This is the Quidneck Land Trust. Sean Grady. He was experimenting with some treatments to trees, and he's treated healthy trees and also beech leaf disease affected trees with a phosphate or something like that. So, there'll be some sharing there to see what happens.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right. I'm still loving the Blitz.
Yeah.
The wildlife.
You'll have to come out for one.
Yeah.
I will, absolutely.
You bring a tent and everything.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You can.
All your books, all your field guides, and it's a fun nerd out, and it's a really good time.
Yeah. I can DJ, you'd like to do that, right?
Yeah.
We're gonna do that.
Come find Moss.
We'll make Gina do it too.
For sure.
So let's talk about some of the other activities that you guys have going on, because I really was stunned, I have to say, at the sheer volume of activity. Look at them. They're like fist bumping each other. And they should. I mean, there's only 5 people on this staff. That's the thing that blows my mind. And you guys are killing it with this stuff. So, like, besides, so you have the living laboratories, you have the wildlife blitz thing we just talked about. What are some of the other things that are going on?
Well, I can tell you. I'll tell you some
Let's
upcoming
do
events.
That, Erica.
So, Lauren Barber, who obviously she's not in the studio with us today, hopefully listening, Lauren. So she has brought a new initiative, a new series called Wellness in the Woods.
Oh, right.
This is kind of born out of the pandemic when we really saw people seeking solace on our natural properties. But also Lauren is a yoga teacher, so she appreciates wellness of all kinds. So, for example, we have partnered with Bark Host. And we have been hosting for a couple of years now, but we still have it going on this summer, yoga on the preserve. So it's usually Saturday mornings. We do have, like, I think we did one in the evening that was on the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. But it's just a time to recharge in nature. A couple of other Wellness in the Woods things that we have happening. Forest bathing with Deirdre O'Connor. She's a certified forest therapist, forest bathing therapist. I didn't even know this was a thing.
I'm sorry.
I know, right?
I was going to say.
It's amazing. Really? I mean, we actually spoke with her on the Voices of the Land
podcast.
Are you naked? Nope. No, I think
Well, you do drop your guard, you know, and
exactly.
Open up all your senses
naked.
To the world around you. Yeah.
I suspect Mark has had his share of forest bathing in his young lifetime.
Yeah, sometimes in private and sometimes in public.
So there's a wide range, whether you want to do more like meditation in the natural environment, yoga. Just last night, we hosted a gong bath on our property, which we're waiting to hear the download. I heard it was awesome.
Who says that hippies don't bathe?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just all water. these baths. And then if you want to ratchet up your cardiovascular a little bit, we had a full moon fitness hike recently and a couple of 5Ks on our preserve, one that we host on Avondale Preserve. We did that in the summer, and then a couple through Westerly Track and Athletic Club, trail runs on Grills Preserve and recently Wahanita.
Everybody is invited except for werewolves, please.
Yeah,
right. Even them. You know, October's coming up, which actually bringing me to October, we have this really cool series. So I don't know if you knew this, but there are 100 historic burial grounds in Westerly, and five of which are on Westerly Land Trust properties.
No kidding.
So Larry Hunter, who's a friend of the Westerly Land Trust, he's on our CCC. He is the commissioner of the Rhode Island Historic Cemetery Commission.
No kidding.
Yes. And so he's going to be leading a three-part series in October. You can check our website for dates if you want to sign up. It's free for our members, but $10 for non-members.
Okay, he
has pledged to donate all of his all of that to the Westerly Land Trust. So it's all coming back to us.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, I personally love old graveyards.
Yeah.
And because my family has a plot in the local graveyard in Wakefield that goes back like 200
really?
Years. So I'm like really connecting with my ancestors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating. Like walking through that particular cemetery, which I've done many times, you see names going back literally 200 plus years that are still alive and kicking in the, I mean, not those particular people, but their descendants are still the Congdons, the Hazards, the Robinsons, the Hoxies. I mean, it's just like no end of names. And we all know those names because they're all still there.
Right.
It's really lovely. It's a beautiful way to connect the past to the present, I think.
It is. It is. It's really, it's great. It's a beautiful way to spend time outside, but also reflecting on the history of our species.
That's
you know?
Right, right. And our ancestors.
And,
also, cemetery art is really beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I always like cemeteries.
If anybody has, if you have never been to Mount Auburn Cemetery, for example, in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Oh, my Lord.
Really?
First of all.
It's on a hill or something?
Yes, but it's a huge thing. It's like Greenwood in Brooklyn. Mm. It's an enormous property. There's a little lake. It has one of the most extraordinary stands of Japanese maples I've ever seen in my life. Literally dozens of different varieties of that particular tree.
Wow.
It's one of the most beautiful arboretums I've ever been
really?
To. I could not get over these magnificent trees. And it's been there for, 150, 175 years.
Yeah.
So the trees are really mature. The leader, was there Mary Baker Eddy is buried there and has this like temple overlooking the thing. I mean, it's very cool. It's a lot of very nice
road
stuff
trip.
To look at.
Right.
Yeah,
road
it's
trip.
Definitely worth a trip. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, even Riverwood is a beautiful place too, right here on the river. Or I'm sorry. What's our cemetery? Riverbend.
Oh, Riverbend.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I've never been to that one, actually.
Riverwood is also beautiful.
Yeah, Riverwood is that's one of our.
It's also beautiful, but Riverbend.
So we don't have too much time left, so I want to get down to some other stuff about what's going on. But you have an enormous list of sponsors on your website and supporters. And that is you, Erica, obviously, donor relations manager.
It's the team.
It's all
team
of
effort.
Us. I get it. But you're interfacing the most probably directly with them.
And Jennifer Fusco, I've learned so much from her, our executive director, who has a fundraising background. And, honestly, I think the Westerly Land Trust is a vehicle through which people who love Westerly, whether you're a resident or a visitor, because we have so many of both, can really work together. So we are fully supported by our community, and we wouldn't be able to do the work that we do without our members, our supporters, our partners, our corporate sponsors. We feel very fortunate. You know, there's so many worthy organizations in Rhode Island, and specifically in Westerly, who we are all working to get that funding and make an impression, but we, the Westerly Land Trust, are so humbled to be a part of that group that of worthy organizations. So we definitely want to share our gratitude with everybody who has supported us, whether it is somebody who is joining with a $50 membership or giving a $50,000 gift. You know, there's that Teddy Roosevelt quote, do what you can with what you've got where you are. And, you know, Mark and I and the team just returned from a land trust conference in New Orleans where we got to meet people who were managing, I don't even know how many acres more than we are.
Hundreds of thousands of acres,
right? But what we as residents or supporters or visitors to Westerly can do right here is going to make a difference, not only in our community, which is really important, but in our country and the world.
Sure.
So, but yeah, we can't do it without the support of our community.
So what is the secret to your oh-so-successful engagement, my dear? Well, I'm sure inquiring minds would like to know. Like, how do you successfully engage people on this level? Because really, I mean, I know lots of people who are development directors, fundraisers, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It is not easy.
I appreciate you saying
sell,
that.
To sell, you know, whatever your organization is or does.
I think we have the benefit, as so many other organizations do here in town, we have the benefit of having a great product. You know, a product that people, especially right now, especially in the wake of the pandemic, especially in the face of climate change, people want to protect natural spaces. People want to connect with nature. And I think that, you know, it's easy to sell a good product, to be honest. So doesn't make it any less important or anything. It just is, I feel very fortunate that so many people are signaling their support of the work that we're doing.
And, that's fantastic. You know, obviously you're doing a great job of getting the word out about the work you're doing. And I guess that's really what the secret of successful engagement is to let people really know.
Right.
And that's shown by your website, which again is really excellent.
Thank
it's you. Beautifully laid out. It's really easy to navigate.
Good.
I highly recommend people go and look
Good.
At it because every property is listed. You can see a photograph of it and read a little bit about it.
Yep.
You know,
we also have an
cool.
app. So
and you have
like
an app.
You,
I know I was amazed by
so
that.
So if you are somebody who may be new to hiking or even walking in the woods, I don't want to say sometimes hiking has a scary. I need a backpack and I need to pack a snack.
Yes, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I need special footwear. No.
If you want to go for a walk in the woods, we will. One, I know that Mark will be happy to take you. I'll go as well. I would love that. We tried to do something at lunch. We fell off the wagon of this over the summer, but we call it lunch laps because our Barlow Nature Preserve does have a hiking trail, so we can step out our door, go for a walk during lunch, and
Fantastic.
Really reconnect. You know, turn off our screens and reconnect. Our app has maps. That's easy to remember, right? GPS maps where you can, if you feel like you are not comfortable reading the blazes, you know, navigating on the trail, just have your phone with you and you can pull up that map and know exactly where you are on that trail and how to...
Wicked.
And other advice is get yourself a external charging unit that you don't keep your phone plugged into. You use it when your phone dies. That's the biggest thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Let your phone completely die and then plug it into this thing and you'll have a whole charging while being able to use your phone.
Yes.
Wow.
But you're not draining it as your phone depletes just a little bit.
Yeah, because GPS takes up a lot of juice on your phone.
Good.
I actually never travel.
I learned this from Pokemon hunting.
Okay. Love it.
I was going to get that Mewtwo and I did. Thank
good
you.
Good job. Good job.
Because of
and
your battery?
Team Yellow.
Yeah.
Team Yellow.
I love it.
Over here.
I love it. That's great.
So what are you guys going to buy any new property? Do you have any sites set on any new property coming up in the next 12 to 18 months?
We actually have an acquisitions committee at the Westerly Land Trust, comprised somewhat of board members but also volunteers. So they always have their eyes open and you know, researching properties and you know what are the priorities. So we've got people looking at what we would need. Yep.
Right. And then you raise the funds to make the acquisition.
Gotcha. Exactly.
And so let's talk about some of the challenges to running a successful land trust because I'm sure it's not easy. I mean, you know, just like we just touched on the whole community engagement piece of it, which has got to be a hugely challenging proposition. You have to be very, you know, mindful of how do you actually disseminate your information and get people to be excited and enthusiastic about it the way you are, which has made this interview so delightful. But that's a big deal. So, like, what are the biggest challenges? Is it money? Is it maintenance? Is it equipment? Like
Prioritizing.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Yeah.
Mark has so many ideas. We were just discussing this yesterday, and they're all so good. And just like you've mentioned, we have a small staff. We have an incredible group of volunteers, as Mark has mentioned, a very active board as well.
I think it's empowering the community to say, Jeff Walker, who's a board member, a stewardship committee member, and a weekly CCC member, you know, his wheelhouse is running. And so, how can we connect through him to the trail running community?
Right.
So leveraging our entire community to, you know, put them in a position to help the whole is important. But I think the biggest challenge is when you're talking about land conservation, historical preservation, it's happening on a time scale that's kind of beyond what's our next event going to be, right? You know, we're sure. operating in that world. Okay, like what's fall going to look like? What's winter going to look like? How are we going to engage with people today, this week, next month? But then there are also these things that are going to take place on the land that are going to have effects, you know, 10, 20, 50, 100 years. And balancing those two mindsets, being able to go back, what's important right now and what's important in the big picture.
Yeah, right.
The little things do build into the big things, but and not being, I get overwhelmed by the big picture stuff, right? And trying to balance the little stuff. So,
I understand that. Yeah, that's definitely. So we're out of time here. So tell people how they can learn more about the Westerly Land Trust and, you know, get involved and start going to some of these cool events that you guys showcase. And, you know,
everybody is welcome to attend. We create programming so that we can hit all the cross sections of our community, whether you're a third grader or you're not a third grader. I don't want to call anybody
senior
out for
citizen,
age, but
yeah. like me,
whatever. But but we want to tailor. If you want to learn something, if you just want to go for a hike, if you want to walk slow, if you want to go fast, we've got it all. You know, we're trying to hit all the bases. So we would love to have you join as members. You can look on into how to do that on our website, as we both referenced, westerlylandtrust.org. We're beefing up our social media, so Instagram and Facebook under Westerly Land Trust. You can follow us on both of those. Or just come by our
come
office.
By the Barlow Preserve.
Barlow Nature Preserve. We're at 449 Westerly Bradford Road. You can't use the Cottrell Bridge right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go around, like, you know, Dunn's Corners and come that way. Our door is open. We're there 5 days a week. Like I said, Mark will take you on a hike. I'll go for a walk with you, whatever you want to do. And just so that we want everybody to know, as I started with, we don't want to be the best kept secret anymore. We want to be out there. We want to be make sure that everybody knows what we're doing here.
Well, thank you both so much. And the next time you're on the show, Erica, we're talking about that whale training gig of yours.
Oh, you got away with it.
almost. Yes. Good thing we're out of by the whistle.
No, I have whet the people's appetite.
Yes.
Now. We got a whale trainer here, people. Yeah.
World class.
There we go.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's been great. And we'll see you next week with another episode. We'll be talking to a beekeeper next week, so do tune in for that. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks to our sponsors. So long for now.
Thanks.
No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. You leave paradise and put up a fucking lie.